Well, morning.
Morning.
I want you all to put your thinking caps on. You're in the middle of Walmart, and somebody walks up to you and knows you, and knows that you're a Christian, but they're not a Christian. And they say, "Who is this Jesus that you talk about?" How would you answer that?
He's the Son of God.
He's the Son of God.
He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer.
Can you give me an example of a story about Jesus? And you don't need to know the Bible in verse, because I'm doing something here right now to demonstrate that. The story about Jesus that impacted you. One of the events, the time in his life. And I start out, Wesley, I think you're getting ready to say something before I start out.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would like to think that I was, first thing I would say, like the sister said, that he's God's son. And I would ask him, do you believe in God? Because if you don't believe in God, then you're not going to basically probably believe nothing that I say. But if he believes in God, then I can try to work from that point and tell him that he's the Son of God and start out with that. And then tell him the things he's done. If he said he don't believe in God, then I would ask him, well, you believe in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and all those things that we used to hear about when we were raised up as a child. And I asked him, well, why do you believe in that? You've never seen them. And then I would try to explain to him what Jesus has done for all mankind. And even though he may not believe in him, he would definitely be thankful to have Jesus, what he's done when he leaves this life. And I was also trying to incorporate in there whether or not he believed he's going to go to heaven or hell when he dies. Because I would try to show him the importance of knowing who Jesus is and what he is. Because if he doesn't believe in any of that, then it would be hard to try to convince him. But I was trying to find a point or a basis to try to get him to understand what I'm saying about Jesus, because I can't just show him a physical person, but I can show him the attributes of letting him know that how he woke up in the morning, how he got up, the air he's breathing, all the beautiful things that he sees, the rain, the snow, the mountains, even the fish, you know, if he likes fishing or if he eats fish. Of course, if he's in Walmart, he's buying something out of Walmart, and it comes from Jesus. So I would try to find a basis to work off of.
Somebody go to Matthew chapter 14 and don't mind reading about 10 verses. Read Matthew chapter 14, 22-33. And let me tell you about this story. This is the story about Peter walking on water. And that's one of my favorite stories because, you know, Peter, he always had that little bit of attitude. He always tests the water. He always puts himself in the position that he's a little bit different than the rest of them. And sometimes that's where I find myself. I'm that person that does it. And that person walked up to me and just tested the waters, saying, asking me about Jesus. And then I'm out. Prepared. You know that story that the disciples are on. I ain't read it yet. It ain't been read yet. The disciples are out in a boat. The storm comes up. They're by themselves. Jesus has been on the shore praying for a little while. And they see something coming across the water. And they think it's a ghost. And they're afraid. And what Jesus did, he cries out to them and says, "Don't be afraid. It's me." And what did Peter do? He says, "If that's you, Lord, let me walk out there on water." And you know what happened? Peter, because Jesus was far enough away, it doesn't say how far he was away, but Jesus was far enough away they could not recognize him. So that means Peter had to walk for a little while on that water. He may have walked 10 steps, he may have walked 15 steps, he may have walked 20 steps, he may have walked 3 steps. But he was walking on water. Peter was able to walk on water. And of course, what happened with Peter? He took his eyes off Jesus, and then he began to sink. Somebody read those verses and let us know what happens at the rest of the story.
What is it, 22?
And it says, Matthew 14, 22-33.
Okay.
I hope that's the right one.
Immediately Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "Oh, you of little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when the boat when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Leslie, we weren't ready for this morning, were we?
No.
So I was able to tell you the story pretty accurately to what was in scripture-wise. I couldn't remember the verse in the Bible, but in a matter of moments, I was able to pull out my phone and find that it was Matthew chapter 14, 23-33. We have resources available. We can answer those questions. But that story impacted me that pretty much hit everything that was in that story by memory. It was an impact. It's one of those stories that I know from beginning to end because it's one that impacted me. So what I want you all to think about, as some of y'all talk, you can pull out your phone, look up where it's at in the Bible, try to find one of those stories that impact you. Because the journey we're about to take, and we'll talk about in worship service, that I'm not going to go in detail right now, is the life of Christ. And why it's important and all that stuff, to study that. But the impact, Christ has an impact on all of us in some form or fashion. So all of us probably have a story that we can pretty much tell somebody. And what I would tell that individual is, says, man, if Peter was able to walk on water because Christ, he had faith in Christ, what limits me? You may not believe, but I'm going to believe because he's impacted my life. And you came to me asking this question because you must have seen something in me to make you ask that question. So take those opportunities and tell people your story and why. Be specific about why it impacts you. Tell those stories that influenced you throughout Scripture, that made you believe. Because there's so many stories we have, and I know we all have different ones that are favorites. So that's my example, because I was able to tell you that story from front to end. We saved the very end to, even though I knew the rest of it, that Peter would doubt, the seas would overtake him, he'd get afraid, he'd take his eyes off the Lord, and he would start to sink. And what Jesus did, he reached out and pulled him, even in his doubt. That's the one thing that really keys on to me. Even in his doubt, Christ reached out to him, picked him up, and reminded him, "Oh, ye of little faith. Here's a lesson for you. Trust me. I will be there for you." And we face those challenges all the time. When we get hit with storms, we start to take our eyes off Jesus. And then Jesus still reaches out to us, picks us up, and reminds us that we need a little faith. It's the lessons that we learn that continue to hit on us. those are the stories that you can share. Somebody has something? About her. Go ahead.
Well, it's where Jesus tells the people that no one can come to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I think that's in John 14:6. That really impacted me because the way I grew up, the main focus was always on God the Father. Jesus was never the forerunner of all of this. And then studying this, it made me realize, you know, I have to get to know the Lord and believe in Him before I can actually get access to the Father. And I think that is something that people need to be told.
And that was a turning point for you.
Yeah. A big one, because, like I said before, it was just, well, you know, you worship God. Everybody talked about God, but nobody talked about Jesus Christ as far as being our Savior.
And you're correct. In John chapter 14, verse 6, it says this: Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Mm-hmm. And you just really look that up. Don't know it off the top of our heads. Nobody's going to know scriptures. You know, that's one of the biggest fears that we have. I don't know exactly where it is. I know what it is. But in today's technology, a lot of people don't even realize that you type on the phone, because everybody's in their phone, and even when we're talking, doing this. Everybody's doing this without them realizing. You just text a part of the verse and be able to find it. And says, hey, it says this right here.
To me, it's really a miracle to me, if you want to put it in parentheses. Because I'm like you, I don't remember. I can tell you it's in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, but I can't remember book, verse, and scripture. But I remember what it says, almost to the point where I can recite it the way it is in the Bible. And to have this, and be able at a moment's notice to look it up, to me is priceless. Especially when I do prepare a lesson. Or when I talk to somebody, you know, it's wait a minute, I know what it says, but let me go in the Bible and find out exactly so you can read it for yourself, or help me to put a lesson plan together. It's priceless. It's a blessing to me.
You know, people turn down certain things like the internet and stuff like that because of all the bad stuff in there. But would you say, Wesley, he was at Walmart? Mm-hmm. And everything in Walmart was from God.
It is.
That's a resource, if we use it the proper way, can make an impact. It's a gift from God to be able to answer that question that way, and that quick. Is to be able to pull up your phone when you're interacting with somebody and show them book, chapter, and verse. So don't be afraid to use those opportunities. Let me tell you, last night, I pulled out my lesson, and I go and do my lessons like I always do. I said, man, there's something else I want to put in there. I didn't know book, chapter, and verse. And I found what I was looking for. And I was still adding to this morning's lesson as of last night. Something else popped in. I was over there earlier, looked it up, took a screenshot of it, and you see me in my sermon, pull out my phone where I took a screenshot of something that I want to add it to my sermon. The thing that we need to understand and realize is we need not to be afraid. What's the biggest holdback in teaching God's Word?
I think for most people it's because I don't know enough, or I don't know where to go in the Bible at the drop of a hat. But with this, you have it. You have no more excuse.
What was Moses told when he brought up he was afraid? He wasn't worth a man of many words. God would put the words in your mouth.
And I was just going to say that, you know, if we would listen to the Holy Spirit more, it would help us. Many times I have sit here in Bible class, and stuff pops in my head, and I don't know where it come from. So, you know, why did this just all of a sudden come up? But I know it's the Holy Spirit telling me.
I don't know if Leslie knows it or not, but when he's one of my dearest friends. Because we think a lot alike. We have a conversation all the time on Sundays how things just
come together.
He's one of my biggest pickups. I look forward to walking in the door and seeing him. I know I'm going to be encouraged. I know he's going to ask about me. I know he's considered one of my dearest friends because of that interaction, how things come together. And God, if we understand our Heavenly Father, if we understand Christ, somebody came to you, that opportunity happened because Christ put it there. God put it there. Don't let it go to waste because of fear. Don't let it be pushed aside because, oh man, I don't know enough about the Bible. I'm not the preacher. I'm not the elder. I'm not the deacon. Don't miss those opportunities. So now that I've been talking for a few minutes, opportunity. What's one of your favorite other stories about Christ that you have that you may be able to use, or something else that influenced you as a Christian? I'm that person in Walmart that don't know nothing about Christ.
This is not about a story in Walmart, but my brother-in-law, he's a practicing Muslim, and he quickly brings in his stories and stuff, you know, so. And I just asked him the question one day, why do you believe like that? Where is Christ in your life? We just sitting and talking, you know, and he told me some story about, you know, Christ going somewhere off to himself and blah, blah, this and that, you know. So, and I told him about, I asked him, had he ever heard about transfiguration? Huh? And I, you know, reminded him about the men that Christ had taken with him up on the mountain. You know, they wanted to build the altar for Elijah and all those. And I said, but God's voice came and said, hear ye, not the God's son, you know, this is my son, hear him. You know, I said, so that's telling you that Christ's part in all of this, it has nothing to do with Muhammad and whoever else you're talking about. It's Christ. Christ is the center of this. You know, he should be the center of your life. You know, but you can't, you know, somebody that's just deeply in there, you can't just that moment get them to thinking about or, you know, changing or whatever. But whenever I get an opportunity and, you know, we talk, I remind him of that. You know, Christ is the main one in my life. I'm not following, you know, the Muslims or whoever else has put a name on their religion for you to follow. I'm not following that. I'm just a Christian.
And that's a perfect example. That's something I didn't even ever think about, the transfiguration being used in that form or fashion, because that's one of those hot topics stories that we can literally run into about these different religions and why Christ is not a part of it. And to use the transfiguration in that way, I'm telling you this morning, I picked up something that's going to stick to my head when I'm addressed that way. That, hey, let's go back to that verse. Because we all know the transfiguration. We know that story. We know all these stories. But these stories are some that we can teach. Not something that they necessarily accept. That's something we got to get in our heads as well. They may not accept it at the time, but it's still the truth. If they accept it or not. But they may accept it later when they hear something else. Or they may say, oh man, I remember that conversation I had. That may be in a seed that's planted that will develop into something because it's watered or it's taken care of. The right people come along. Christ and the Heavenly Father takes care of the rest of it. We just plant the seed. But if we never plant the seed, that opportunity has no chance to grow. Once again, it's usually out of lack of fear because we're afraid we're going to say something wrong or we're afraid that we're not going to come across right, or I don't have the right words to put together. But we got to understand that we're not in charge. We're not one that running that situation. If it's coming from the heart, God takes control. God will lead that conversation the way it needs to go. It's not based on your ability. You've heard me say that so many times. It's based on His ability. And when we don't allow our ability to let God take control, it controls His ability. Just like Peter walking across the water, taking his eyes off Jesus and starting to sink. That fear, that moment of fear, just sinks him into water. And that's what happens when we have these opportunities, a moment of fear that we have. Somebody else has another story.
You know, sometimes people, when you talk about Jesus and having faith and what it does for you in your life, they want to debate with you and try to make you feel like you're such a fool, you know, for believing that it's a fairy tale. The only thing I can come back with is, what do you have to lose by believing? If you're not asking them, you're giving something. It's so frustrating to talk to people like that. There are a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
You know, Satan's busy at work, and a lot of it may be on the other end telling him, "Oh, don't believe what he has to say." But they wanted to know something from the beginning. And the curiosity got him so much that it has that interaction with you. You just tell them, "I don't know what you believe or why you believe, but I know how it's affecting my life. I know it brings me joy and happiness, and the Lord has proven Himself taking care of me time and time again. I can't speak for your life, but I can definitely speak for my life." And then He'll probably come back again later, asking, because He's seeing something that He wants to question that. And I've noticed that on most conversations with firefighters or with people out on the streets, or they see something. I know this group that we have here, I know that you, throughout your life, there's been a couple of occasions where somebody's confronted you without you even saying anything. You're a Christian. Mm-hmm. Why? It's because it's the way you're living life. They see something different. I've been in a bank and walked out, and a guy followed me behind me. He says, "You're a Christian." All I was doing was putting money in the bank. No, he says, it's the way you talk to that catch, that person. You told them to have a blessed day.
Yes.
You presented the way you presented yourself. I'm telling you, the best lessons taught are the ones that we live like Christ. Those are the teaching moments. Those are the ones that draw people to us. Those are the ones that gives us a lot of interaction with our strangers. We blow them off. We go, don't think twice about it.
I was just going to respond to what she said, is that I've had a lot of people that, you know, you fools, it's just a bunch of stories in the Bible, and it's just a storybook. But yet when they're in trouble, they come to you and say, "Would you pray for me?" So what's your problem? You have no problem with me saying a prayer for you. But what's your problem with me talking to you about the one you want me to pray for you to? And sometimes that can give you an opening, but then again, it doesn't always work. But you left something behind for them to come to you and say, "Pray for me."
You know, in the service I did for over 35 years, there was many and many occasions that I saw people in trouble who never mentioned God, but cried out to Him when that time came, when they were in trouble. Our brain, our heart and soul belongs to the Lord. And there's going to be times that it's going to cry out, even though we don't want it to. So when people are crying out on those moments of time asking you a question, it may be the time that you're able to reach in and make a difference. But it puts a spotlight on us, how we interact. People see that, how we react. It's been several years ago, and I'll tell the story. I won't put no name to it because that's not right. But I was at work, I hear firefighters screaming on the radio, or I hear something screaming on the radio. I go, oh, this is not good. I know where they're at, so typical police, fire, and attitude is I'm going to come in a back way so nobody sees me coming. So if there's something really bad comes on, I can make an impact, or I can get the right people to make an impact. So I come up behind the building, across some sidewalks, stuff like that, shut my door, walk away, and there's this guy's steadily screaming, hollering, and using every name in the book. And I come through the firefighters, because they're in front, the firefighters are in front of him, I'm behind the firefighters, and I already saw who it was, and I walked through them, and you know what was said to me at that point? Hey, Brother Bear. He had a bad moment. And that's why there's no names will ever be mentioned, because we all have those moments. But you know what the first question was asked of me when I got back to the fire station? He called you Brother Bear. Yes, he had a bad moment. We all have them, just like you do. I can name them. Many of one y'all had on a job where you shouldn't have said a certain thing the way you should have. And had to use that as a teaching moment that we're all not perfect. But we need to realize they're always watching us. We need to try to present ourselves as best as possible at all times. But thought about it afterwards. Kind of funny. They weren't expecting that. The whole tone changed and stuff like that. But it gave me an opportunity to go back and say, hey, Christians are not perfect. They struggle just like you and I. Y'all know me probably better than anybody because you live with me 24/7. You know I ain't had no perfect. I ain't been perfect every day of the week. And you got to write it off as that whatever he's going through, we may not know all his struggles. But we got to watch out how we act as much as possible, because we are having an impact, if you believe it or not.
All right. Just want to add 2 cents on to that, what you just said. Not only are they always watching us, but like Brother Pastor said in his lesson a couple of weeks ago, they're trying to make you mess up. You know, and it's not them as per se individuals, but it's the devil working through other people that's trying to make you mess up. So then the devil can jump on and say, see, you're not a Christian. See, you're no better than nobody else. See, I know you could do this, and I know you're like that, to make you look bad, because once you make a mistake, then to other people that are looking at you, the ones that are looking at you from a distance, that makes them feel like, well, no, I don't need to go to church. No, I don't need to follow Christ, because he can't do it. Why should I try? But we have to continue on, like you said, as a teaching moment, to let them know none of us are perfect. You know? Christ said the whole time in his walk, everything he did, he didn't do for himself, he did because of his Father. So we have to rely on God to carry us and rely on Christ to uphold us. You know, but yeah. We already know we're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall. That's why we have the avenue of prayer. And it's so good that now we can pray ourselves instead of having to go to a priest to pray for us. We can pray to God ourselves, but we pray through Christ.
This is how much I use Peter's story about walking on the water. When you live with guys and gals for 48 hours at a time, and sometimes 72 hours at a time, they're going to see you the good, bad, and the ugly. And actually, when they see me stumble, you know what I tell them? I'm not walking on water yet, but I'm trying. I take that story of Petersburg and Peter and say, I'm not walking on water yet, but I'm trying. And I'm trying to get better. And that's why I want that story of Peter's influenced me so much, because like I said earlier, is Peter took his eyes off of him, got tied up in the world and looking around at what's going on, and started to sing. But Jesus still reached out and saved him. And And that's that moment's been an impact on me since I've been here at Edge Hill, to be honest with you. Is that story that, yeah, I'm not going to be perfect, but I need to strive to try to keep continue to walk towards Jesus. There's going to be times that I sink, but my heart, if it's in the right place, He will continue to reach out and grab me and pull me out of that situation.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, my comeback to a lot of people that tells me, you call yourself a Christian or whatever, I'm not perfect, and that's the desperate reason why I need Christ in my life, because I'm not perfect. Nothing that I can do of my own will save me in the end. It's only Christ that can do that. And again, through this, gives you another way to open up a door for a lesson or something, or teach it.
And one more aspect to all that is I can't swim.
Exactly.
So if I sink, I'm going to drown. And that's the reality that I know if I don't rely on Jesus, because I cannot swim. So when if I sink, I'm going to drown, because I don't have the ability to save myself.
Yeah.
And that's why that story is such a big impact on me, is putting things in perspective. And that's what we need to do when we're facing these people about opportunities. It's not on your ability. That moment is not about you. That moment is not what you can do or what you cannot do. It's all about Christ and what He wants out of you at that very moment. So when you're out in the world, when you're out with family, here's where the hardest probably part of is dealing with people when it comes to family. I can tell you for a fact, because y'all see me here every Sunday that I'm able to be here. Last Sunday I was at Carlson Street with Aunt Joanne. But I'm here even though my family's not. And that's a struggle that I deal with for all these years. But they need to see that this is vital and important. It's their choice. We can't change anybody. It has to be, they have to make that decision. They have to decide. They have to commit. Because you can't commit for them. You can't do the journey for them. They have to commit. All you can do is constantly plant those seeds. And I encourage you not to miss those opportunities. Pick out a story about Christ. Pick out something that you know inside and out and turn it around and use it as an opportunity. Don't be afraid to use your phone to pull up a verse right quick or any of that stuff, because you can make an impact. Because you've got to realize those are one of God the Father and the Son's moment that you have with that person. We're about to do a journey. It's a couple months journey as of right now, about the life of Christ. And so there will be plenty of stories that we're going to bring up, plenty of stuff that you can use. But what I want to ask you, because it's almost closed, see, we didn't have no problem filling this class. What I want to ask you this morning, and I'm going to ask it to you again, it's just to give you the lead. Are y'all comfortable? These are nice seats. I sat in churches with wooden pews. Are you comfortable this morning?
Yes.
Well, you won't be for long. Are you relaxed? Are you self-looking in your life? Because it's all about to change. Am I going to make you a little uncomfortable this morning? I hope so. I made myself uncomfortable. So as we go through this morning, snuggle in as best as you can. Get as comfortable as you can, because I'm going to make it a little uncomfortable. And right now I'm probably speaking a little bit to the choir, but it will still affect you because of how we're going to do this lesson. And this whole series that we're doing Bible class and worship and the book, it was Jerry's idea. And I'll tell you why when worship gets here. But that was Jerry's idea to incorporate all this. When Jerry, Wesley, and I were talking about it. But this morning, just expect for me to put you on the spot, knowing that I already put myself on the spot. And I expect to get a little uncomfortable this morning. But at the end of the lesson, it should turn everything around. It's all about perspective. So on your way of looking at it. So this is our lesson this morning, and y'all's lesson this morning, because y'all gave me some stuff this morning that I'll definitely use.